Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So not only buy the truth and sell it not, but buy wisdom and sell it not. Buy instruction and sell it not. Buy understanding and sell it not. I believe the word I want to focus on first is the word buy. I believe with the word buy, you see there a choice and you see a desire. I want to say first of all, with buy the truth, we know for the unbeliever that there's many places in the Scripture that talks about that invitation. Even the book, even the whole book ends up. The book of Revelation, as the book of Revelation ends, he's saying, come, all ye that are athirst, come and take of the water of life freely. It was Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, that said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He went on to say, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So I believe he was referring to the choice that had to be made. You remember that it was Joshua in Joshua 24:15 that said, choose you this day whom you may serve. And he went on to say, he said, if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, you go and do that. But he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it represents a choice. Now, Isaiah went on in Isaiah 1:19 said, but if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So if you be willing and obedient, you make the right choice. This life is full of choices. God is not going to make mankind love Him. God is not going to make mankind live for Him all the days of his life. That is a choice that has to be made. But I thought of this while I was getting ready to come to church tonight. God could not have done anything more for mankind than what is already done. God has given Himself through His Son. He has given His Son as a propitiation for us, as a mediator for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that choice is there. That choice has to be made. We either choose life and live, or we reject it and we die and go to a devil's hell. So Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, if you make that right choice, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I believe that many are in the shape tonight, and I'm going to get to save people in a minute, but I believe many are lost tonight. The Bible said many there be that go on that broad way that leadeth to destruction, but few there be that go that narrow and straight way that leadeth to life everlasting. Joel 3:14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of the decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So I believe that is why I like how Jesus said it to the disciples. He said, don't say 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, look on the fields now. He said, they're white and ready to harvest. So our job is great, but our God is great and our God is good. And our God is still able to save to the uttermost. And I like that right there. Also in Isaiah 55, I want to read a verse there because we don't want to take this verse the wrong way. By the truth. I want to say that that price has already been paid. The price for truth has already been paid. The price for wisdom has already been paid. The price for wonderful instruction has already been paid. The price for understanding has already been paid. When I looked up by in the Hebrew, it just said to get or to acquire or to possess. So the price has already been paid. Over in Isaiah 55, verse number 1, the Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk. Listen to this. Without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So we see right there in Isaiah 55:1, without money and without price. I believe this refers to the story of Joseph when you've seen his brethren leave Canaan, go down into Egypt land. They went down there, they was dying. But we know from the Scripture that Joseph, being a type of Christ, had been sent ahead of them to do for them what they could not do for themselves. And when they got down there and they said, we're hungry, we're starving, and we deserve to die, and we deserve to starve, we don't deserve any good thing. It was Joseph that filled the... He didn't fill them halfway full. And I'm glad of that, that when we are saved, we are filled with the Spirit of God. God does not give... Hallelujah! God does not give Himself by measure unto man. I'm not working for the Father to love me. I'm working for Him just because of who He is. Because I love Him. He has given Himself to me. He said, he that hath the Son hath the Father. He that hath seen the Father, or he that hath seen the Son hath seen the Father. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. God does not give Himself by measure to us. When you got God on the old fashioned altar, when you cried out to God and told Him who you were and recognized who He is, when you said to Him as Peter did, when he said, will you go away also? And said, Lord, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When he said unto Peter, whom do men say that I am? Some say you're Jeremiah, some Elias, but whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that, God built His church, and the gates of hell is still not prevailing against it. Hallelujah. So we want to take this Scripture by the truth, and we want to say this, the price has already been paid at Calvary. The Bible said He took our sins. He took the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, and He took them out of the way, nailing them to His cross to show us that it is paid in full. So as those brethren went down there to Egypt, as they went down there and began to exclaim to Joseph, we need this. We need this to live by. It was Him in love that filled their sacks and put their money back in their sacks. Because it is a free gift. The Bible said, for all those that believe in works, it's not of works lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And I praise God for that. So buy the truth and sell it not. Now we see many places in the Scripture where there's lost people that we see. And I've often wondered this, Brother Darren. I wonder how many people do we watch walk off the pages of our Bible into the pit of hell. I think of many places. I think over in the book of Acts about Felix. The Bible said, as Paul reasoned, as he preached of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, the Bible said that Felix reasoned it. He reasoned it in his mind. He began to think upon it, and he began to tremble. Just as Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, even as he went against the things that God had commanded, he took of God's things, he made a mockery of them. But is it Galatians 6:9 that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we see that when that handwriting came on the wall, the Bible said he began to tremble. The Bible said his knees began to smoke together. And the Bible said he was told by the man of God, Daniel, thou art weighed in the balances, your kingdom will be divided between the Medes and the Persians. Thou art weighed in the balances, thou art found wanting. And I truly believe, if you go back and read that Scripture, Daniel will tell Belshazzar, he said, you remember a day when your dad, when God got a hold of your dad, showed your dad's things, tried to get your dad to turn unto Him. You should have learned a lesson through your dad, but now because you've taken the things of God and pushed them to the side, you've had opportunity. I believe with all my heart, Belshazzar is screaming in hell tonight when he didn't have to. The Bible said Felix trembled and he said, Paul, go. He said, at a more convenient season, he said, I'll call for you. The Bible said he would that money would have been given, that Paul had just been released because he wanted to get that man out of here. that man had God on him. That's what you've been talking about tonight, and all of you, Brother Clay, we're talking about the characteristics of Brother Matthew and Brother Shane, all of has made mention that tonight about us having God on us, so that people know that without even us having to speak, that the power of God may rest upon us. So that choice been had. Later on in the book of Acts, you find King Agrippa as he stands there with Festus. As Paul begins to go over his testimony and tell about the Damascus Road, he said, "Paul, much learning doth make thee mad." He said, "Most noble Festus, I'm not mad." He said, "But King Agrippa knows what I'm talking about." He said, "He's very knowledgeable in the things I'm talking about." And Paul said this, or King Agrippa said this to Paul. He said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And like what Paul said. Paul said, "I would to God that all those that hear me were such as I am." He said, "I wish that you were such as I am, except these bonds." Paul said, "I've made a choice, and it's the best thing ever happened to me." It's a choice that there was something in him that wouldn't move him from what he believed. He was that man mentioned, I believe, in Psalms chapter 1. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man, and he'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Paul was the type. He said, "None of these things move me." He said, "I've got a course to run for Jesus Christ. If they stone me, I'll still go back and care for them. I'll still go back and take the Word of God, because they need to make the right choice. They need to be told it's paid in full. They need to know that the same one that Stephen was talking to when he said, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge,' the same one that touched me on the Damascus Road, it's the same one that can help them today." So we're going to look in this, and it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." I believe also in buying, I believe it goes with being persuaded of something. Not only a choice that has to be made in this word buy, to get or to acquire or to possess, but also if you're going to get something, you're going to acquire something, you're going to be persuaded by it. You're going to have a desire for it. It was Paul that said over in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, he said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I want to say this, in the Scripture that we read in the New Testament where it says, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Absolutely, I believe the "ask and ye shall receive" can be directed toward the lost man. Absolutely. Ask and ye shall receive. You have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. But I want to say that to that Scripture also is to the Christian. It's to the church. Seek Him, the Bible says, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. So I believe that there needs to be a desire in us. A desire for the truth. A desire for wisdom. The Bible tells us in one place, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." There's different kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of this world, and then there's godly wisdom. The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I want to ask you a question. Could it be in our churches today? And I'll tell you what makes me want to preach, listening to preaching like I have tonight. Because when you listen to preaching like you have tonight, you're listening to someone that's dug in and wanted to know more about the things of God, to expound the things of God. And I like what Brother Clay said, because I've been in churches like that many times, to where a verse is just read, maybe a chapter read, and then nothing is touched on. Could it be from the pulpit back in our churches today, could it be that we are looking and we are sitting in congregations of people that are wiser in the things of this world than there are in the things of God? Boy, I tell you, it'll tell on you, John. How do you attain it? Well, it begins by doing like what Solomon did in 1 Kings chapter number 3. In 1 Kings chapter number 3, you find Solomon in Gibeon. There, when you find him in Gibeon, the Bible says in verse 5 of that chapter, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon begins to go through and he says this, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. And I believe some of that, can you see this? Can you see maybe in those times that Mama Bathsheba had him down talking with him, just like what we read in the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, don't you think she began to extol the mercy of God and say, son, he was merciful unto us. When David was supposed to, when we look back at all the things that you and or me and your dad done, when we look back at all those things, God was merciful in that he could have destroyed us. He could have consumed us. Isn't it in Lamentations that Jeremiah said, it's because of the mercies of God that we're not consumed. And I believe that Bathsheba might have said that to him. So here we find that he begins to pray and he says, God, you've been merciful unto my dad. And it goes on, it says right there in verse 6, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness and that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a child. I know not how to go out or come in. Can I stop right there? And it's good when we're on our knees and we tell God we can't. That's really good, because I believe that there's churches today that are starving absolutely to death. There is homes absolutely starving to death from the things of God, because there's a mom and daddy that thinks they can do it. There's preachers standing in the pulpit today that think they can do it. But I take you back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I want, before God sees me in a pulpit, I want Him to see me on my knees somewhere saying, God, I can't do this. I'm but a child. I have to look in the mirror and say, why, God? Why would you want somebody like me? How can you use somebody like me? But I want to say this, it humbles me. But I feel the great responsibility to stand behind the sacred desk and preach to a congregation of people. But I want God to know I can't. But you can. You can. That's what Preacher Darren was telling us tonight. Is God's raising up men. We've got to know that there's me. I preached a message not long at the church, and I talked about the false prophet. You know where the false prophet ends up. And all of a sudden, the false prophet ends up where the dragon ends up. The false prophet ends up where the beast ends up. They end up in hell. And the Bible said there's many of them going out right now. There's many. There's wolves in sheep's clothing. I preached a message here not long ago. And we got to get to them people out there before the wolves do. We've got to get to them before the wolves do. We've got to get out there and tell them the true way. The truth. By the truth, the Bible says. And sell it not. So right here, he began to pray. Now, I'm going to speed up right here. The Bible says, you know what he said. As you get on down there. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. You know what it goes on to say? God grants that desire. The Bible said He will give us the desires of our heart. I'll be honest. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes it scares me, Brother Darren, to open up the congregation with prayer requests this day and time. Because people are, you can see their carnality even in offering up prayer requests. I'm telling you what, you'll have people raise their hands and they want to pray about this and they want to pray. When's the last time you heard somebody raise their hand and say, preacher, I just want to be more like him. I just want to be more like him. Lord, preacher, I just want to have a forgiven heart for that one that's done me wrong. I just want to be patient. I want to be kind. I want to have all those flavors of the fruit. And that's often misquoted. People say the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. But it's got many flavors. But I wonder how many people's lives are missing a whole lot of flavors. But when's the last time you heard somebody stand up? And the Bible said, confession's good for the soul. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. We're all the time wanting to pray about this and pray about this. The Bible says that He knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. And I wonder how many times do we talk to Him about everything that we need to talk to Him about. Or could it be that what we've been talking about tonight, those things and parts in our life that we shun, we don't want to talk about that. He said this, He said, I'm but a child. I'm but a child. But I know you can help me. And I want you to help me. And by this, God gave him his petition. God granted him this. I love Matthew 6:33, but I don't feel in our churches it's fully comprehended this day and time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means if a man will come after me, it's Jesus' words. If a man will come after me, let him deny himself. Right there is where a lot of people can't get past. Huh? How many people are stuck right there? They're not going after the Lord because they can't. And like Shane said, it's an everything, everyday thing. Let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and let him follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If Christians this day truly done that, our church services would be totally different. It would be a time that you couldn't have enough seats for people to get in here because they would know that they're coming not for praise of themselves, they're coming not to glory themselves, but they're coming to glorify God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, I tell you what, I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to seek His will. I want to give Him praise and glory and honor. I want to give Him the first fruits of my life. I don't want to give Him the leftovers. He's not going to honor that. He didn't honor it. He didn't honor it when Cain tried to do it, and He's not going to honor it this day and time. Alright, so James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, just like what Solomon did here in 1 Kings chapter 3. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Liberally means simply, openly, sincerely. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Desiring truth, desiring wisdom, desiring instruction, desiring understanding. So, what is truth? Bible tells us in John 18:38, Pilate asked that question. He took Jesus to the side. He's talking with him. His wife has told him, have nothing to do with this man. I've suffered many things this night in a dream because of this man. And the Bible says in verse 34 of John 18 that he pulls him off to the side. Or verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 34, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? John 14:6 said, Jesus said unto him, speaking of Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Deuteronomy 32:4, Moses said, He is the rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. John 1:14, John said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if the truth sets you free, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Do people want the truth? I believe that there are so many in our churches today that want the truth. I believe there are so many in churches today that are sitting in churches that are not given the truth, that are trying to sugarcoat, that are given candy instead of meat. I feel like there's so many in those type churches today, they're starving to death, but they're just settling for that. They're just settling for that. They don't want to stand and say, I need the truth. They don't want to stand up and be accounted and say, this is not right. I need the truth. My children need the truth. I'll just be honest with you, men. I'm so skeptical of people this day and time. I believe you are to try the spirits and see if they're of God. And I'll say something to you boys that are not pastors. When you do become a pastor, that pulpit is your responsibility. And what needs to be coming out of that pulpit is the truth. And everything that wears a tie and puts a Bible under his arm is not a preacher. And it is your responsibility to make sure you know that man well enough before you put him in that pulpit. And I tell you, Brother Darren, it's sad, but we're in a day and time that there's just a handful of men that I trust to call this day and time and say, would you come and preach at my church? It's a great responsibility, men. It's a great response. The Bible says right here, buy the truth and sell it not. There's going to be many that's not going to want the truth this day and time. But you know what? It's very easy to focus more on those that don't want it than to focus on those that do want it. It is. It's so easy. And when you become a pastor, there's so many things that will fly up at you. There's those that don't want it, or I believe a lot of times might just be a few of them, just a few in the congregation. But that right there is enough sometimes for the devil to get on you so that you just get so down and out, that you just get so focused on that, that you forget about those that are sitting there hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You can't focus just on those that don't. We got to continue to pray for them. We got to continue to present them with the Word no matter what. I've often wondered, what are we going to be faced with? What's going to come against us to say, all right, if you stand on the truth, this is what you're going to have to suffer. I mean, I told the church this past Sunday, we truly don't know what persecution's all about. Stephen lost his life for the truth, but that was all right with him. Does that make sense? Paul lost his life for the truth. He said, I'm ready to go to Rome. And I believe he knew he wasn't coming back. He said, I'm ready to go to Rome. I'm ready to go because I'm ready to preach the gospel. And he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, thank God, the truth is now for everybody. John the Baptist got his head cut off for the truth. I can see him coming down there. He got to a discouraged point. He got to a place where he called them disciples. Maybe Andrew was one of them. The Bible said Andrew walked with him for a time. Maybe Andrew was one of them that he brought him to him. He said, I want you to go ask him, are you the one, or do we look for another? I believe this with all my heart. I believe he said, I'm just going to keep standing on the truth. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to bend. Paul gave such good instruction. Titus 2:1, he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2, he told Timothy, and he told him in verse 1, he said, I charge you. He said, I charge you. And he said in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And exhorting is pretty easy. But that reproving and rebuking sometimes is not as easy. For the time will come, and I believe we're in it right now. I don't know how many years Preacher Darren has preached, but I'm sure that we could ask him, Preacher, what was it like when you first started preaching? How were the congregations then? How was it when you first started? How did people receive the gospel? You know that there once was a day and time that congregations would get so filled with the preaching of God. I've heard my daddy say that there's times, son, they shouted me out of the pulpit. They've shouted and they've praised the God of heaven. Not for show and God was in it. They praised the God of heaven just because they were hearing the Word of God. But we're to a day and time that the Bible says the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But then he looks at Timothy and he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I believe with all my heart right here, I believe when he says, "Buy the truth and sell it not," I looked up that word "sold" in the Hebrew. To sell means to be given over to death. Just to give it away. Just to give it away. And when I read that, I went to 1 Kings chapter 21. And here's why we don't need to give the truth away. Do you remember the prodigal son in Luke 15:12? Do you remember he went to his father and he said, "I want the portion of goods that came to me." Do you remember what the father did? He divided his living. He gave of himself to the son. But do you remember how the son treated it? He treated it carelessly. He treated it carelessly. He treated it loosely. He treated it loosely. And before he knew it, he had lost those things. Because if you treat the things of the father loosely, you'll give them over into the hands of the adversary. Does that make sense? The adversary is there. He would love no more for me and you to hand it over to him tonight. He would love no more for me and you. Because, listen to me, there's a lot of times and so many times in my ministry, I get to a low place. I know you guys get there too. We get to places and it's so easy in that place. When we get to that place like John the Baptist did, when we say, you know, "Are you the one or do we look for another?" When we get to that low place, it's so easy in that time just to throw up our hands and say, "I'm done." You don't know how many Sunday nights I've quit on the way home. I've said, "Forget it. I won't go back. They can have it." But we keep going on. It's in those times that the devil wants us to give up. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we'll reap in due season if we faint not." There's going to come those times that you're not going to feel like it anymore. There's going to come those times that you're going to be doing the best you can do. Do you realize what kind of man John the Baptist was? Jesus said he wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. Jesus said this about him. Jesus said he wasn't one that was all about the outside appearance. He was more about the inside appearance. For he knew, like what Samuel said, that man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the inside of a man. He was trying to do his best for God, but yet he was at one of the lowest points in his life. Job tried his best to live for God, but at the lowest point of his life, he said, "Cursed be the day that I ever was born." But I'll tell you this about those men. When the devil said, "Let me have it," they said, "I can't do that because I didn't give it to myself. It's my Father's." Hallelujah. "What I'm carrying is not mine. It didn't come from me." I love that verse. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, so that we carry." We didn't manufacture it. We had it given to us. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That son, he treated it so carelessly. It troubles me this day and time what stands behind pulpits. It troubles me. It troubles me. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 3. When you get to this chapter, you'll meet a man by the name of Naboth. You'll meet a man by the name of Ahab, king of Israel. The Bible says that Naboth has a vineyard there close to where Ahab's, I guess you could say, his place is. And the Bible says that he goes, you remember Ahab's wife Jezebel? He goes to Naboth and he said, "I want that vineyard." And Naboth said, "It's not for sale." I'll tell you what you'll have to do. You'll have to tell the devil that every day. Yes, you will. You'll have to tell him that every single day. Because, Darren, there's times here lately I've been so low. I've been right on the bottom. I mean, you try to preach to a group of people and you try to love them, you pray for them. You lose hours of sleep. You sacrifice time with your family. They talk mean as a dog to you. They talk mean as a dog to your wife.
I tell you what you want to do. You want the wrath of God to come down upon them. That's what you want. That's the flesh of a man. And it's very easy in those times to say, I quit. I give it up. Devil, you can have it. But it's in those times that we've got to realize, I've been given this from my Father, and it don't need to be laid in a devil's hands. Amen. The Bible says right here in this Scripture, the Bible says, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. The Bible said Ahab devised a plan and he had Naboth killed. I want to say this. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I'm telling you what, I am glad that there is a hedge of protection. Boy, I tell you, in times that we get so down, let us go back to the book of Job and read where Job sat down in that hedge and he told that wife, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. He said, my God giveth and my God taketh away. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, my Redeemer liveth and I'm going to see Him in the latter day. He said, hey, this might be going on around about me, but God still got His hand on me. Some of the most precious words I believe we see in the book of Job. He said, He knoweth the way that I take. And He said, I've esteemed His words more than my necessary food. He said, God's going to take care of me. We watched God taking care of Elijah when He fed him at the brook. And the brook dried up and He sent him to Zarephath. We see God feeding 5,000. We see all these places. We see times of famine with Naomi and Ruth where God took care of them. God has a hedge of protection. God is going to take care of us. There's nothing that will get through me that can't come through God's hands. I'm telling you, we're took care of. That devil might bark and he might growl and he might yell and he might scream, but I am protected. There's a hedge about us, and we ought to thank God that He's our high rock. He's our tower. He's our refuge from the storm. There is a place by, and it's in that cleft of the rock where there is protection. It might get to where you think God's nowhere around. It might get to that point where you think, my goodness, it'd be just easier just to throw up my hands and give up. But let me say this. Be like Naboth. Buy the truth, sell it not. Possess the truth and tell the devil, you can't have it. And let me say this. The Bible says we're not just conquerors. The Bible said we're more than conquerors. The Bible says if God be for us. I want God to have good to say about me. I want Him to say I'm steadfast and unmovable. I want Him to say about me that I'm a man that's like Abraham, that I take Him at His word. I believe Him for what He says. He's counted unto Abraham for righteousness' sake. I'd like to be a man like Job, and he'd say, there's none like Him. Not for my glory. I don't need any because I haven't done anything. But God deserves glory. And I don't think this day and time God's getting enough. And certainly we can't give Him all the glory He deserves. But you know what? I appreciate the truth. I appreciate instruction and understanding. And I believe the more we have, the stronger we'll be. Amen. 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 I'm done, brother. Amen.